and it's sunshine Friday through the weekend. Overnight lows, lower to upper 50s. Tomorrow afternoon, becoming more partly sunny with highs into the upper 60s. We'll have 40s and 50s for the mornings each day. Friday through Sunday, sunshine each afternoon with high temperatures near 70. No rain, dry weather continues right on through Sunday. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Come to the Slidell Gun and Knife Show November 6th and 7th to see thousands of handguns, rifles, and shotguns. Plus knives, personal protection items, and ammunition. Bring your gun to sell or trade. They offer appraisals and instant background checks. The Slidell Gun and Knife Show at the Harbor Center Slidell. Take I-10 to Oak Harbor, exit 261. Saturday, November 6th, 9 to 5. Sunday, November 7th, 10 to 4. At the Harbor Center Slidell.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
And I'm proud.
It's time to join Hawk and Dave for 1 hour of educational news and conversation. They will discuss the current events that you are not going to hear on the mainstream media. The left wants to silence our free speech and take away our liberties. Hawk and Dave want to open up the lines of communication and allow you, our listeners, to speak about what America wants. Call Hawk and Dave for open discussions at 504-556-9696, or you can reach them at libertyorlockdown.live. Now, let's go live and direct to Hawk and Dave for Liberty or Lockdown.
All right, welcome back. It's another Thursday, a wonderful Thursday, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great, but we need about 5 hours to cover everything today.
Yeah, I know. We have a lot to cover in just a little bit of time, don't we? So let's hurry up and do that. All right, we want to hurry up and get Micah Murphy on the line. We'll start with our word from the Lord. How are you, Micah?
Hey, I'm good. How are y'all?
Good, good.
All right, well, we got hardly no time, so I'll just get right to it. I'm not a political activist. However, I know a lot about politics, but I saw some visions from the Lord. They weren't open visions, but they were in my spirit. And I'm not going to say who or what, but I saw someone being removed from their office. And I saw this like four times. So I'm just going to say that. I want to make it very, very clear that I'm not calling for anyone to do anything. I'm just saying that I saw that in my spirit. Also want to make it very clear that it's the Lord's will for us not to have any type of vaccine mandates. However, we have to pray the Lord's will, because we know, if you read the Bible, the Lord's will doesn't always happen. And there's some people that get it in your head that God is so in control that they never pray, they never do anything. Joseph talks about when his brothers threw him in the pit, that they intended it for evil, but God turned it around for good. We need to be praying against the vaccine mandate, because it's not the Lord's will that it happens. Also, just a quick little exhortation. If you have a vision, something you're doing from the Lord, whether it's in the media mountain, religion mountain, business mountain, anything, it's time to tweak your vision, to go back, to make it fresh, make it better, make it more professional, things that you've learned just over the years or over the months, and just make it fresh and make it new, because it's just good to do no matter what you're doing or what mountain of earth you're in. So that's it for today.
Thank you. I'm going to take that word and apply it to myself. I appreciate you. And the Lord bless you. Amen. And your ministry, Amen. Sons of God. And just tell us how we can reach out to you.
Yes, and I actually did that. I tweaked about half of that so far, and I'm going to probably finish tomorrow or the next day. But my website, or our website, I should say, is thesonsofgod.net. It's all one word, and then we have
Uh-oh. You still there?
All right.
And then, okay, that was interesting. And then we have a Patreon account, and you can find all of our links to our YouTube channels with the teachings and prophecies and everything on there. So, and I want to give the Lord a testimony. I want to give everyone a testimony. I traveled to Lafayette and did a little bit of ministering over the weekend, and the Lord actually healed three, I think, people that were in the service. So if you need healing with diabetes, cancer, and something to do with an eye, if you need healing, you know, just reach out, because God is still the healer.
Absolutely.
Amen. Jesus is still the healer.
That's right. Miracles, signs, amen. And wonders. These are the days. So I 100% believe in that. And again, Sons of God and the website one more time.
thesonsofgod.net, and then there's all kinds of links you can find from there.
And you can reach it from our libertyorlockdown.live. Click on the More tab, and you'll see Micah Murphy's
website. And you can reach Liberty or Lockdown from the Sons of God.
So. All right. Well, thank you for partnering with us. The Lord bless you.
Thank you.
All right. What do we have?
Well, as Micah just mentioned, I don't think it's the Lord's will for there to be any vaccine mandates. Now, we're not anti-vax. If you want to get vaxxed, go ahead and do it. But the idea that somebody would say you have to, that's reprehensible. I heard the president yesterday, Mr. Biden, talked about this horrible disease. Well, you know, I've been doing the statistics ever since the whole thing started. From an individual perspective, if somebody in your family dies, to you, it's a horrible disease. But nationwide, it's not. It's not an epidemic.
Right. No.
The statistics are really low. You can go to libertyorlockdown.live, click the More tab, and pull down Mr. Prentice's statistics, and you'll see it's over. In fact, in Orleans Parish, where we are, there's now one person who's died attributed to COVID in the last 14 days.
Wow.
One person out of 391,000.
In the state.
Now, no, in Orleans Parish.
In Orleans, I'm sorry.
And in Jefferson, it's a bit more, because Jefferson has Ochsner. That's ground zero. Anybody that's a serious case gets brought there. So that's where most of the deaths take place. But it reminded me when Mr. Biden said about this horrible disease, there was a movie some years back called Wag the Dog, where a president got caught in a very compromising situation, and he needed something to distract from himself and his own performance, and so he had a media company invent a war. Well, we're not inventing a war, but we're inventing a war on a specific disease that is, you know, it's a little more serious than the flu, a little, not that much.
No, it's not. I mean, when it's 99.8 survival rate from the very beginning, I think we knew that. It was something that we learned quickly.
Yeah. So I think that there's still a prohibition against prescribing ivermectin, too, which has been a very effective treatment, but the doctors, in many cases, are not allowed to prescribe it.
Yeah, the doctors are being told not to prescribe it, but those who take it know that it is very effective. It almost works immediately, and that comes from testimonies from people who actually took it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you want to talk about politics?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about politics.
a week from Saturday, there's an election throughout the state of Louisiana. There's four issues that affect everybody. They're constitutional amendments. The first one authorizes streamlined electronic filing, remittance, and collection of sales and use tax. In other words, the state wants to take it away from the parishes. A power grab.
Right.
I'm going to vote against that one.
No.
Number two. It says it lowers the maximum allowed rate of income tax and allows providing a deduction for federal income taxes. There is presently a deduction for federal income tax. This would say, well, that's gone. Now, if the legislature reenacts it, you can have it. So it's an attempt to take away the deduction for federal income tax. So once again, I say no.
No for me, too.
Number three, allows certain levy districts to levy an annual tax for certain purposes. Yeah, but what you have to read between the lines to find out is once this is enacted, you don't get a vote anymore. It's going to be taxation without representation. So number one, number two, number three, no.
No for me too.
Number four, increases the amount of allowed reduction to certain dedicated funds when a budget deficit is projected. That is, there's funds that right now the state can tap into 5%. This would say, no, the state can tap into 10%. Taking away more money. So we recommend on all four of the constitutional amendments, say no.
No, 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 and no on all four of the amendments. They are actually very unconstitutional. I would say no. For proposed changes, they grow the bureaucracy. Yeah. So if you say yes, you're in for growing your bureaucracy. You say no.
And there are other elections. I'm going to talk about this several times today. If you think LaToya can't be beaten in Orleans Parish, that's wrong. Just go to the booth and vote ABC, anybody but Cantrell. If she doesn't get a clear majority, she'll be in a runoff, and whoever will be in the runoff with her, you can then unite behind them. So just vote for anybody but LaToya. There's 14 candidates on the mayoral ballot. Vote for ABC, anybody but Cantrell.
Well, I say vote for Vina Nguyen. She's the only Republican on the ticket.
I would agree with that, but at least vote. Don't say there's no point. There is a point. Vote against Cantrell.
Yeah, and vote for Vina Nguyen. All right, we're going to be on a quick break, and we'll see you back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Our founding fathers are waiting to see who will stand and fight. Stand and fight. Taking freedoms away. So send the message, I've had enough. We the people say.
Bark, 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 bark. Chicken, chicken, chicken. Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist. And that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean, racist oppressor of the black baby. And that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
Hey folks, this is Jeff Cruer. Join me at 7 a.m. till 11 right here on WGSO 990 a.m. for Ringside Politics with a Punch. We're going to be bringing you great guests. We'll discuss the latest hot topics and, of course, taking your phone calls. On Friday, Patrick Byrne joins us at the America Project. We'll discuss election reform. We'll visit with Chris Holton of the Center for Security Policy. And we'll wrap up the week with Ringside All-Star Donna Carol Voss. All of that and more right here on Ringside from 7 to 11 on WGSO.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Looking to make a difference in your community this year? Let New Orleans Habitat help. Volunteering with New Orleans Habitat is easy and satisfying. Help build a house, spruce up a block, or spend an afternoon selling gently used furniture, appliances, and more in our two restore locations. Research shows that when you volunteer, it increases your happiness. So come on, get happy and volunteer with New Orleans Habitat. Visit habitat-nola.org to learn more.
I pledge allegiance to this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud you do, hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes.
All right, welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. I'm Huck.
And Dave.
All right, let's get going. So what else do we have here? I know we wanted to continue on.
Well,
we have the election,
you know,
November 13th.
You got to, okay, in the election throughout the state, every single one of the Orleans Parish City Council members is up for re-election or new election or re-election. There's only one state representative in this area, the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office. There are five people running. So I'm not going to say anything about that.
Well, let me say something about that. So being the president of the Women's Republican Club of New Orleans, although the Federation canceled us, we are still a club and we are still moving forward. We will have a Christmas party, which we'll announce that. It's December 4th, so save the date. But if I would suggest Christopher Williams in the primary. He's going against Marlon Guzman in the general, and Christopher Williams is the only candidate who has actual law enforcement experience. He's 31 years on the force. He's military. However, if there's a runoff, it will most likely be between Marlon Guzman and Susan Hudson or and they are both Soros candidates. So be very clear on that, okay?
Well, Marlon Guzman has been in there for a long, long, long time. And
so let's get the Soros candidate out and get Christopher Williams in.
Okay, for New Orleans mayor, as we mentioned, you got LaToya. And there's also 13 other people. There's only one Republican in the whole race. That's Vina Nguyen. So naturally, Martha and I are both Republicans, so we're in favor of her. But vote, vote, vote.
Right.
You go in the booth and you say, I don't know any of them. Just pick anybody but Cantrell. Well, we would prefer you'd pick Vina, but anybody but Cantrell. And if she doesn't get a majority, then she's forced into a runoff, and then everybody could unite behind her opponent.
That's right. And we also have Clerk of Court, District Court, Austin Baden, genuinely a good person who's also competent. So there you go. That's Criminal District Court. Austin Baden, New Orleans City Council at Large Division 1. Both are leftists. Kenneth Cutno is part of the machine, but at least he's an anti-mandate. Mm. Helena Moreno will win, however. So they're both leftists.
Yeah.
City Council at Large Division 2, anyone but Christy Palmer. I'll vote for J.P. Morrell, who is for social justice. Ugh. So you have to vote for somebody who's social justice. I don't know if I'd even vote. I mean, really, I don't know. That's a hard decision there. You're voting against the very thing that you're fighting against.
Pick somebody you've never heard of and vote for them.
No, be careful who you vote for. But at least he's pragmatic, okay? So that is J.P. Morrell. Jaredyn Brosset is a good person, so it's sad when he what he's done to himself. Kristen Palmer has been a disaster for both the French Quarter and Algiers. She's a complete sellout to the left.
Yeah. So Jared Brosset, he's the one that's had several DWIs, right?
Yeah.
So he's still on the ballot, even though he suspended his campaign?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
that's what this looks like. Wow. Council City District A, Amy Musco. She's a Libertarian, but Joe Garuso will win. And this is Juliet Laughlin. She's a member of our Women's Republican Club in New Orleans, also a huge advocate in New Orleans for the Republican Party. She says that Garuso is pretty honest. Council District B, Ruella Zapletal, I hope I'm not destroying that. She's anti-mandate. She's from North Iberia, shows up and is very involved. Leslie Harris is a Soros candidate. Boo to Leslie Harris for being a Soros candidate. Jason William candidate was part of the whole woke Loyola administration. I don't like that. I didn't like that woke thing. That's Jason Williams, and also is a pro-vax and is for gun control. Wow. That's not good.
Wow.
He's this. Juliet Laughlin's giving me all these notes. Jay Banks is also a pro-vaxxer. City Council District in the French Quarter C, Vincent Mulligan, a true conservative, Vincent Mulligan. Freddie King's a lobbyist who is backed by Ike Spears and is the front runner, but there may be a runoff. If so, then the general election, I'll vote for Alonzo Knox. This is, U.S. Marines serve with high praise on HDL Historic District Landmark, so he values historic preservation, owner of Backatown Coffee Shop on Basin Street. And then you have two more, Council District E, New Orleans East, Cindy Nguyen. There may be a runoff with Oliver Thompson, who may have an easy demeanor and is popular, but went to prison for a problem which may still be there. Sounds like the New Orleans politics.
Yeah.
Tax assessor Carol Hornbeck, a nice, he's nice? Carlos Hornbeck, a nice man who runs in every election and has almost no chance of winning. Sorry, Carlos. Earl Williams is projected to win easily.
Okay.
All right.
Well, can we shift to Virginia? You heard about those sneaky white supremacists up there. Everything is a fault of white supremacists nowadays. You look on any of the TV shows, you know, the TV dramas, the white supremacists are out to get you. Well, you heard the sneaky thing they did?
No, tell me
about it. They elected a black woman.
Right.
Oh, wait, what that's that, really sneaky.
That black lady won, huh?
Yeah.
But they're calling her... her followers, white supremacists.
Yeah, it must be.
She is as well, right? What's her name?
Her name is Winsome Sears.
Yeah,
what a great name, Winsome. She's a very winsome person.
She's ex-military.
Yeah, and yeah. I understand she's pro-gun.
Anti-vax.
And
anti-vax.
And she's now the lieutenant governor of Virginia, and the governor.
Woo! Is
a Republican.
Go,
Miss
Sears. Lieutenant Sears. Right. And so we flipped the blue state to a red state. And we have an audio we want to play for you real quick that I thought was kind of interesting and says a lot here. So give us a second and we'll play it right for you right now.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
There
and
you
who
have
was
it.
That?
That was Kamala Harris.
Our vice president?
Yeah, I don't normally believe her, but on this one, she has no idea what she just spoke, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So there you have it. Virginia's red.
Well,
the people have spoken. They have wakened from the wokeness.
Let's hope it spreads.
Exactly. All right. Anyway, good going, Virginia and Hawaii. It's happening in Hawaii. I have a friend of mine who is a stunt double and a stunt coordinator, and her husband flew up there to do a movie. And little did they find, they found out that Hawaii has gone communist on us.
You know, if you go to the NOLA.com website, they have a link taking you to the latest information on COVID, which is where I get a lot of information. But they have a graph showing nationwide positive COVID tests. This is not dead or dying people. This is just people that tested positive. And it's way down nationwide. But now you got Hawaii that's freaking out, saying, papers and all of that.
Yeah, that's right. You have to be vaccinated to go to a restaurant in Hawaii on all the islands. I mean, they are serious. They went far left Democrat on us, and my mother lives there. And you have to be vaccinated to go into any restaurant. And there are 20-year-olds checking for your vaccine card and your driver's license. And then they stop you and ask your children that are 3, 5, and 9 if they're under the age of 11, or you cannot enter in here unless you're vaccinated.
Well, you need to tell those people at the door, you show me your vaccination card before I come in here.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, we're going on another quick break and we will be right back.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Maybe your portfolio should resemble your dinner, slowly cultivated, locally produced, and sustainable.
Join us at 5 p.m. Mondays for the Slow Money Show, WGSO 990.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO or see what I have to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. Lawmen have shot and killed the man believed responsible for the murders of three people early this morning in Shreveport. 36-year-old Barry Rigsby allegedly killed two adults and a 12-year-old child in a home in the city's West Grove area, then fled the scene. His car was found later in Franklin Parish, some 150 miles east. Franklin Sheriff Kevin Cobb says they located Rigsby in an apartment in Wisner and called state police.
2:15, 2:20 this afternoon, this situation ended. The individual was shot and at this point deceased.
Can your dog or cat get COVID if you've been exposed? Al Maroy with the Louisiana Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab says it's pretty uncommon, but yes, it is possible. She says if Rover or Snowball are acting sick, take them to the vet right away.
So we're asking that anyone that even thinks about maybe there was some kind of exposure that they have their animal tested.
This is news on LRN.
The average person unknowingly consumes a pound of insects per year. The chlorine in the pool doesn't make your eyes red. The urine does. You are always within 6 feet of a spider. Some things you just don't want to know. Other things you really should. Like that Vantage Health Plan is an option for anyone who lives or works in Louisiana. Call today and find out how Vantage can keep you covered with cost-effective, comprehensive health care. Call 888-823-1910 and talk to a fellow Louisianan about what Vantage can do for you.
It's Healthy Louisiana open enrollment time. That means choosing the right care for you and your family. At AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, we can help you reach your health goals with extras like adult dental and vision benefits, help getting your GED, a weight loss program with gym memberships, and more. To choose AmeriHealth Caritas Louisiana, call 1-855-229-6848 or visit AmeriHealthCaritasLA.com to learn more.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean racist oppressor of the black baby, and that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 1 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
WGSO from the Fuca Range
to Funchal Square.
Things have changed. WGSO, do you know what it means to love New Orleans?
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
beautiful. All right. I love that New Orleans commercial from WGSO. That's very nice, very jazzy. Well, our next caller here is someone that actually the way I met her is through our secretary on the Women's Republican Club of New Orleans executive board. She had sent me this lady's video several times, and she had to keep sending it to me and ask me if I would please take the time to view it. So I did. Sunday morning, I sat up and I listened to this video, and it took me, you know, a little bit. I don't think it was like maybe 17 minutes or 20 minutes. And I'm so glad that I sat through the whole thing. At the end, she'd given her phone number. I decided to give her a call, and here we are. I have her on the line. Her name is Elizabeth Weinstein. She's 49 years old. She's a stay-at-home mom of three, a graduate of Columbia University, and a previous ER ICU nurse, a survivor of severe domestic violence and narcissistic abuse. Her husband, Brian Stryker Weinstein, is a high profiler and a powerful attorney with connections in the judiciary. Her husband has a lifelong history with, this is sad, but pedophilia. And when Elizabeth found out in May of 2020 that her husband was practicing pedophilia and not just a childhood victim, she confronted him, telling him that if he wanted it to stop and agreed not to hurt them anymore, they would help him. Her husband initially agreed, and then he ran. Brian weaponized the judicial system and law enforcement against her and her children, and they were kidnapped and trafficked to their pedophilia father while he was missing and undergoing a pedophilia investigation. Elizabeth fought back and was denied any direct contact with her children for 18 months. She's been rendered homeless, has been falsely arrested multiple times, even sent to solitary confinement for not wearing a mask. When she filed a federal lawsuit for the false arrests and imprisonment, she was then kidnapped again by the same police who were defendants in her case. Brought in front of the defendant judge, who was sent back to jail absent of criminal charges and involuntarily committed against her will by the judicial order without providing the order, where she was ordered to ingest what she calls a lethal cocktail. And I know this all sounds a bit crazy, but I'm going to tell you that this is all happening in every state, and we have not just women, but men in every state, that the judicial system is extremely corrupt, and they're all coming out and speaking out, and here it is. We're going to let her speak. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am. Thank you so much for having me on, Martha.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. So I want to go ahead and give you the time that you need to speak to our listeners and say what you know, what you would like to say in the air. We don't have much time, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you really covered the story well there. You know, what's been happening to me, it's somewhat hard to absorb how extreme the amount of abuse is that I've suffered. And it seems you get lost in it a little bit, but the storyline here is clear. I have a husband who's a pedophile, who is a high-powered lawyer, who is using the judges and the police as a weapon against me and the children. And what's alarming is the ease at which he's able to do it. What's alarming is how severe and atrocious it's been. And I've been absent due process the entire time. I'm a multimillionaire. I've been left homeless. I filed for divorce from him, knowing that once I was in divorce court that I was entitled to housing, I was entitled to support. Didn't matter. The judges continually deny me. They would order him to pay housing and support, and then he just never would. And in other cases, fathers like that, they'll put the father right in jail. They'll start garnishing their wages. They'll start, you know, taking money from their tax returns. In my case, they do nothing to Brian, and then he will hold contempt charges against me for saying that I'm being malicious in bringing these cases against him to say that he's not abiding by court orders.
Let me ask you a question. Where do you live?
Sure.
Like your city and state.
Right.
Let me say that. City and state.
Sure. Right now I'm in Connecticut. My family home was originally in Briarcliff Manor, New York.
Briarcliff.
In April of 2020, I had to escape. I had to leave the state because the police were so egregious. They would just pull me over on the side of the road when I was driving down the road, and they would try and arrest me. They would say that I was in violation of the order of protection when there was no order of protection in place. It was just complete lawlessness. And like I said, it sounds so absurd, as you said, but the most horrific part about my unique story is that when I started talking about it and telling people about it and putting up videos about it, which you can find on my website, lizziesarmy.com, LizzieSarmy.com, the amount of people that were coming out of the woodwork all over the country and, frankly, all over the world to say that this was happening to them too. Not only is it that judges are issuing these illegal orders ex parte, which means one side is heard, the other side's not even heard from. They're supposed to be temporary, but you're never giving access to the court to be heard. They treat you as though you're guilty before you ever, you know, have a trial, and then you're just presumed guilty for extended periods of time. For me, it's been 18 months. I've never been given even access to the court to be heard on any of the bogus allegations. And the only allegation was that he said that while he was missing and under a pedophilia investigation, that I wrote him too many emails. And because that caused him to be nervous, anxious, distracted, or fearful, he needed an order of protection against me. I had two police, Sergeant William Bassett and Sergeant John Raphael of the Briarcliff Manor Police, come to my house and evict me from my home. They spent 2 hours, first of all, assessing and affirming that the children were safe and there was no danger in the home. And then when that wasn't good enough for my husband, he got a new order of protection at 6:30 on a Friday night, long after the courts were closed, sent directly to his phone. And again, you have a video of the police saying all of this. and they evicted me from my home, ripped me from my children. And when my teenage children, who were 17, 16, and 13 at the time, said that they were going to go with me, that their father was a pedophile and left weeks earlier after we talked about his pedophilia.
So the children already acknowledged that their father had sexually assaulted them?
The children, I don't go into all of the discussions with my children, only because every time that I talk about something publicly, Brian then creates a backstory. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that my husband has acknowledged his pedophilia in writing. I have it on video where we're talking about how we talked about his pedophilia as a family. We talked about it on May 20th, 2020, and on May 21st, 2020. There are two videos that are posted on my website.
So let me ask you this real quick. The judicial system, what do we want to talk about regarding the judicial system and how they just ignored the evidence?
Well, what I think people need to understand is that the judicial system is a weapon to help pedophiles. The judicial system is a weapon of coercion, trafficking, and extortion of people. It is not a system of justice. Most of us who are good people haven't been inside of a courtroom unless we had to serve for jury duty or something, and often we don't even do that. We end up getting dismissed from the service. And so everything that we know about our judiciary, we've learned from Hollywood, right? Which is you go in, you tell the truth, and the judge slams down the gavel and justice is served. But that's not what happens. What happens is abusers, pedophiles, criminals go to the court and they use the court as a weapon in their favor against the protected parent or against the innocent party. And the reason they do that is because it benefits the judiciary. Even if they're not getting money on the side, they get paid. The lawyers get paid, the court officers get paid, the bailiffs get paid, the transcriptionists get paid by the number of times that you come back in there. So if the judge gives the children to the protected parent, well, then the case is over and people don't get paid. The judge is incentivized to give the child to the pedophile or to the abuser, and then the innocent parent and the protected parent fights back. And as a matter of fact, the U.S. Department of Justice in 2012 commissioned a report to try and get at the heart of this. And in 2012, the U.S. Department of Justice came out and said in over 70% of the cases in the Saunders report that children, when there was evidence of abuse in the courtroom, the children were given to the abuser. And then the non-abusive parent fought back, and that drummed up business for the court. So this is the U.S. Department of Justice acknowledging the fraud within their own system.
Can that be seen on your website somewhere?
The Saunders report, you can Google the Saunders report and come up with the 2012 U.S. Department of Justice Saunders report.
And how do you spell Saunders?
S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S.
Okay.
But it's one of those things, if you've never been in a courtroom before, it's difficult to imagine. And if you have any experience in the courtroom, it's an undeniable truth.
Well, I can tell you right now, I'm being sued because I advocated for a little boy here in Metairie in Jefferson Parish. I've been advocating for him since August of 2018, and the alleged pedophiles are suing me for advocating for the child. So I had to hire a lawyer because I witnessed the judicial system, Judge Rowan, Judge Cleese, and Officer Paul Wittig, all suppress the evidence against the child and give the baby over to his alleged abusers. And so now I'm being sued to defend myself against advocating for a little boy who was diagnosed with PTSD at the age of 3 and was allegedly trafficked, what they call familial trafficked, within his own family. And his grandfather was a court reporter for 40 plus years in the Jefferson Parish court systems. And I watched it happen. So I know what you are saying to be true because I'm fighting this battle right now, right here at this very moment. And I know the Lord is going to win. I'm going to go on a break. Stay there and we'll be right back with you. Okay. Hold on.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 1 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
My name is Eric Schein. My program is Maritime Matters. Listen in on WGSO 990 AM, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central. I'm a graduate of the Federal Military Service Academy, veteran naval officer with many truths to tell and warnings to give, talking about history, all things maritime, and much more. Program centers on our water's edge, maritime borders, and international rights of way as integral parts of our important civil defense and national security systems and the maritime dangers we are now facing.
This is Jay Walker, voice of the Raging Cajuns. Catch University of Louisiana Lafayette football right here each week on the community voice of the Crescent City, WGSO 990 AM.
Join me, Mitch Gibbs, in our exciting 10th season of covering Saints football in the Red Zone, where we talk Saints football. We'll be on WGSO Radio 990 AM and on the internet at www.wgso.com, where we'll talk Saints football live in the downtown Hilton Riverside Hotel in the world-famous Spirits Bar in the lobby of the hotel.
WGSO across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Dave, get up.
Huh? What?
Get up.
Why are you waking me up?
It's 8:30 a.m. We got a show on Everything Old is New Again. Our show is on the air at 9 a.m. this morning and every Saturday morning.
Oh, you mean it changed from 1 p.m. to 9 a.m.?
Yeah, WGSO 990 a.m. They would like us to wake up New Orleans every Saturday morning with Everything Old is New Again at 9 a.m. Come on, let's go.
All right, here we go.
Come on, you don't have to take a shower. Don't need anything. We'll do it on the air. Don't worry. All right, we'll be here. Everything Old is New Again. 9 o'clock Saturdays.
My name is Eric Schein, and my program is Maritime Matters. It's on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Listen in.
This is David Jeremiah inviting you to join me here on Talk Radio 990 every weekday at either 5:30 or 6:30 a.m.
All right. Welcome back to Liberty or a Lockdown. We have Elizabeth Weinstein on the phone. We call her Lizzie. Are you there, Lizzie?
I'm still here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We want to pick up where we left off at. What can we do? We have 6 minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and let you close out this segment. What can our listeners do? What else do you have to say to our listeners?
Well, I just want to warn everybody of what's happening right now. I have brought cases all the way up through the U.S. Supreme Court, and in every single court, all the federal courts, the New York Southern District, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and the U.S. Supreme Court. The court clerk at the U.S. Supreme Court is Scott Harris, and Mara Silver are the two that were most malicious there. And Catherine O'Hagan-Wolf at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, they all tampered with my file. In the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, when I submitted evidence of my husband's pedophilia, and it wasn't anything that needed to be redacted. There was no children's information in it. It was just my husband acknowledging that he was a pedophile, agreeing to stay away from children. Brian Stryker Weinstein, again, is his name. And he used to clerk on the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. So we submit that information in to the court, and they completely blacked it out. You can find that information in if you go on my U.S. Supreme Court case, which everybody should know to do this, go to the U.S. Supreme Court. I think it's supremecourt.gov, and you can go on the docket search. I've got two cases there. One is 21-14. And the other case is 21A29. And if you look at those cases, you'll see in there that they deleted the evidence in all of the courts. And the Second Circuit Court of Appeals denied me, once I started posting the evidence of it, that they denied me access to the court. They revoked my electronic filing privileges. They prevented my case from being heard, which then made me go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And when I get to the U.S. Supreme Court, they changed the dates under which I filed, which then gave the lower court a chance to go in and change the rulings on my case. They then changed the rules under which I filed. I filed in the U.S. Supreme Court under Rule 11 and Rule 21, which is a extraordinary writ of certiorari. And instead, you can see that they put that I filed under Rule 12.4, which was when you were enjoining a case, which was not, it's just blatantly wrong. It's fraudulent. I didn't do it. So we've got the U.S. Supreme Court, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which arguably are two of the most important courts in the entire world. We're supposed to be the freest country in the world, and our courts are supposed to represent justice and freedom. We've got these courts openly, egregiously tampering with the file of a mother whose children have been kidnapped, who has been placed in solitary confinement for not wearing a mask, whose civil rights have been completely eviscerated by the people who we pay to protect our rights, by these judges. And so I want people to start turning a bright light on the fact that it is our judges.
Yes, it is.
Who are our biggest criminals.
I agree with you. I have you on air because this is happening with Andrew Fairbanks and Brooke Beninati. There's a case that it's public record. You can go into JeffNet and view it yourself. And it happened to Brooke Beninati. Her son, her 3-year-old toddler, was taken from her via the Jefferson Parish court system and given to the alleged abusers. So I know what you're saying is to be true. And I know it to be because I witnessed it myself in the courtroom. So.
Yep. And we're all talking about human trafficking and pedophilia at a different rate than what we have ever before in our lives. And I think it's because we're all waking up to the idea that we're in a spiritual war. And this demonic entity, these people have sold their soul to the devil, and the devil is doing his work through them. And this demonic entity is using pedophilia as a weapon against its people. And we're looking for the human trafficking that's occurring in the tunnels or across the borders. But what we have to realize is it's happening right in front of our eyes, in plain view, by our judges. It is our judges that are our most hardened criminals, and it's worse than if they were out on the street, because what they do is they abuse the public trust to commit their crimes.
So give us your website. Give us your website again, please.
Sure. It's lizziesarmy.com, LizziesArmy. And I have to apologize because all of this has been done in the past 18 months while I've been left homeless, while I've had all my finances cut off. And then when I still kept fighting back, the judges trafficked me now into conservatorship, into a guardianship.
And that conservatorship is a bunch of baloney. That's what they were trying to. Everybody was following the Britney Spears case because they wanted to get us accustomed to this conservatorship and for us to pay attention to it so that when it actually happens, it won't be a big deal. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe that the Britney Spears psyops is a way to desensitize the conservatorship so that when it happens to us, you think, oh gosh, I hope that judge sure helps me, lets me pick my own lawyer, as opposed to saying, what the heck is going on here? And this is human slavery, and that judge has no right to assert himself over my life like this. That's what our reaction should be. But they're programming us. They tell us what they want us to think before they do it, and then they institute it. So this is for these past few years, we've been desensitized to these guardianships, and then now what they're doing is the judiciary is taking very strong, articulate advocates like myself, and they're trafficking us into guardianships, seizing our assets, preventing us from having the care and custody of our own children, taking our homes, and then eventually, if we keep fighting back, they're trying to get me in a long-term care facility. I mean, my competency is self-evident.
Absolutely.
The Martha Mitchell effect, saying that people are crazy to get away with your crimes, is lazy,
yes.
It's lame, and it's boring, and we need to stop. But we need to take it out. We need to stop using it ourselves. Right? Take that weapon out. Instead of saying that judge is crazy for what they're doing, talk about exactly what the judge does. That judge gave a child to a man who had strong evidence of sexual abuse. Let's talk about that. But let's take this word and this language of these mental incompetencies or these crazies out of our vernacular and speak to people's actions. People need to be held accountable for their actions. This soft is subjective mental incompetency stuff is something that judges then twist and maliciously use in a nefarious way to strip protective parents or anybody who's standing up for their rights, to strip them of their rights and to instead take control over them. And we need to take that power away from our judges. We have to remember, judges are our employees. Why are we paying our employees to commit crimes against us?
Right.
We need to take our power back. We need a very strong recognition that this is a power that we bestowed to them and that they have desecrated their right to that, or not their right, they have desecrated their privilege to be able to handle that. And we need to take our power back. We, the people, need to stand up for our rights, take our power back, and stop.
It's domestic terrorism.
It's domestic terrorism, 100%.
Within our judicial system.
100%. That's exactly what it is. And we need to start recognizing that as it is and recognizing that our biggest hardened criminals are, in fact, our judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once again, yeah. Let's give that website if anybody wants to know more. We're about out of time. It's lizziesarmy.com, LizziesArmy, all one word, lizziesarmy.com.
Correct.
I see you were deleted by Instagram and deleted by Facebook, huh? Now, you know, Facebook or Instagram would not delete you unless you hit the mark on the target. And I'm speaking from experience because we had 20,000 plus members with the hashtag Justice for Chase page that was up in 5 days. And Facebook, Commie Zuckerberg Facebook, took down our Justice for Chase page but allowed the other people to have their page up. And they're still up.
Exactly.
And they're, giving false information on their page. But on our page, we're not allowed to speak the truth. So, Lizzie, the Lord bless you. And we will be praying for you and your children and your case. Louisiana, I'm born and raised in New Orleans. And I will be lifting you up to the Lord. Louisiana is going to change things. And we pray that New York will do the same. Keep the fight up. And you are always welcome back on Liberty or Lockdown.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
I would really appreciate if people can reach out to the Greenwich, Connecticut Police Department. They are, Kenneth Bunting is a nefarious guardian who has seized all of my assets, including a private account that I was using to feed myself. And now I don't even have money for food, and he's denying me. I'm a multimillionaire. He's denying me all my assets and all my money, and I'm trying to get.
What's his name one more time?
Kenneth L. Bunting.
Okay.
L. Bunting.
All
if
right.
You can contact the Greenwich Police Department and demand an investigation.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. The Lord
Thank
bless you.
You.
Bye-bye.
Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Tim McNally, host of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990.